It's been a blessing to be here again already this morning, and we're blessed in so many ways, and it's a beautiful day, another beautiful Lord's Day that we can gather together and celebrate what He's done for us. And also count it a blessing to have Brother Willie Miller here from Richmond, Missouri, be Sister Frieda Knepp's father and mother. And he has consented to bring the message to us, so we look forward to that. For an opening meditation, if you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 2. It's a beautiful account here. I'd like to read the first 12 verses. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house," talking about Jesus. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." And let's just try to imagine ourselves in this place this morning, in this house that is so full that it's just completely jam-packed full, standing room only. It says, "They come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of the four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion." Mark often mentions the great crowds and the multitudes that followed Jesus. I think he mentioned it somewhere around 11 times in this book. Some think this may have taken place at Peter's house, where in the chapter before he had healed Peter's mother-in-law. If we can just imagine ourselves here this morning, our people have been looking for the Messiah to come. We have heard reports that he may be here. Reports of healing, reports of a man that is teaching like no man has ever heard before. The teachers of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're getting to be a little touchy about this. This man is a threat to them. But we heard he was in the house this morning. The building is packed. There's standing room only. He's standing there speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, just packed close around him. At least it mentions the scribes. But everyone is listening with rapt attention. And from the very back to the front, to those right beside him, everybody hears the same. And there's no PA system there. But no one in this house is aware that there's a group of men that want to get to Jesus. This house is probably most likely had walls of rock and mortar. A ceiling that if you would have looked up, you would have possibly saw thin slabs of limestone that were laid over the rafters or the support. It's not an easy house to break into. It's not easy to get in there. And they said it was impossible to get through the door. It was just packed tight. Everyone is intently listening to this man that they call Jesus. He's speaking with a passion and intensity that they are not used to. Time was no issue to them. They didn't get tired of standing. You know, they felt like his kind eyes were personally looking at them, through them. It was like he could see right through them. There were some that may have squirmed with guilt, but they felt his love and compassion. And they wanted what he had to offer. I said there was no one in this house that was aware of this group of men outside wanting to get to Jesus, but there was one. That was Jesus. I believe he knew that they were there, and his heart was aching to meet this need. He was also well aware of the reactions he would face with these religious leaders. You know, Jesus could have made other means available to get these men in there. He could have went out to those men. He could have healed him without going out there. And this man could have left and said that I was healed by just getting close to the building where Jesus was. He could have used many other means, but this wasn't his will. We see we have five men here, five men that had faith. He said that the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, they had faith. What the sick man's role was, we will never fully know. But Jesus is speaking. All eyes and ears are fixed on him. And there seem to be some peculiar noises coming from up above. And they wonder, but they're maybe used to that. There's stairways going up there. It's normal for people to be up on the roof. So nobody paid any attention to it. But suddenly there's a shower of dust comes down. And then one of those limestone tiles are raised up and it disappears. Then another. Everything gets quiet. And you could have heard a pin drop. All eyes were fixed on that hole beside Jesus. And even though that room was crowded, they crowded a little tighter. They made room for that descending figure, frail figure probably. They couldn't believe their eyes. And what is Jesus going to say about this? Jesus met the most critical need in this man's life. He said, "Son," can we grasp those words? "Son or daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee." You know, beautiful words, words of life and hope. You know, we don't know this man's past, but I believe Jesus wanted these people to know what was most important. And let's think a little bit about those four men and their faith. Men that were committed. Men that had a faith that was radical. Men that were willing to do whatever it took to make fools out of themselves for Christ's sake. To make fools out of themselves for help, for the sake of helping this man that was sick of palsy. You know, do you think they may have heard comments like, you know, you all are crazy. You know, what are people going to think? This man isn't worth it. What is the owner of the house going to say? He may turn you for vandalism. You know, you might go to jail for this. You know, are you willing this morning to step out in faith? To be fools for Christ's sake? In this case, we don't read that these men suffered for this, but that is not always the case. We have no promise that we won't have to suffer. In fact, the Bible says that we will suffer persecution. In the previous chapter, we find Jesus calling out two fishermen. And he says to them, "Come, follow me." And it says they straightway forsook their nets and followed him. You know, what would Jesus say about you and I this morning? If Jesus would reveal to an author what your response is when he calls, what would it say? Would the same words be there? Would it say, straightway, put your name in there, he or her came and followed me? Would we want our reaction, our response in print for all to read? Are we willing to reach out to a friend with the same radical enthusiasm and the same compassion that these men did to their friend? Do we see it as a life or death situation? I don't believe this sick man resisted. He wanted help. He was grateful for his friends. He was grateful for friends that cared, that were, and he was willing to be helped. You know, are you here this morning in the same shoes that this man was? Do you have friends that are concerned about you, that want to help you, that are pointing you to this same Jesus, but you are refusing to be carried? There are important things to you. There are some things that are more important to you than these beautiful words that Jesus would like to repeat to you. Son or daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. Are you telling Jesus that to be called his son or daughter is not as important as this little closet, this little room in your heart that you're not willing to give up? Maybe you're saying, someday I want to be let down, but not now. You know, we would say how foolish that man that was sick of palsy would have been to spurn that opportunity to tell his friends, not today. You know, I'm not ready. How would you feel just coming down in this crowd of people, all these eyes on you, everything quiet? It's too embarrassing. I don't want to do that. Well, back to the sick man and Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't leave him lying there. He had no intentions of that. He didn't heal the sick man physically right away so that he could make a point to these scribes. They were reasoning within themselves. They said, how can this man forgive sins? But Jesus answered their question without them ever asking it verbally. Jesus knew their thoughts. And does he know any less about your thoughts and my thoughts this morning than he did about these scribes? You know, he knows our thoughts. He knows our reasonings. And you may be able to fool man for a time, but God, never. Not for a second. He knows your heart as well as he knew what these scribes were, hearts. He knew what they were thinking. He asked them a question in response to their thoughts. He said, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk? What could they say? How could they argue that point? Jesus promptly went on. He healed this man physically. It says that he did so that they may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You know, praise the Lord, he still has that power today. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, he wants to do the same for us. He wants you to be willing to go out of your comfort zone to help those, to help make those holes in the roof, to help others to find him. Are you willing to be that man? Let's kneel for prayer.